Turn in your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and 16. And mark the words, the mystery of godliness. The mystery of godliness. Then turn over to the chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. And you will find there these words in verse 7. The mystery of iniquity. The mystery of godliness. And the mystery of iniquity. At this moment, the most gigantic armies ever imagined are locked in fatal conflict and battle. The mystery of godliness and the mystery of iniquity. God himself is the mystery of godliness. And here we have the focus of celestial light upon our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and God the Son. Then Satan, the devil, is the mystery of iniquity, and the focus of exposure is upon the Antichrist, the false Christ, which the devil presents in his mystery of iniquity. So we have the true Christ versus the Antichrist or false Christ. And these two, at this moment, in the unseen mystery of the other world, are locked in fatal battle, a battle that commenced long before the six creation days that made our world. In that great mystery of the eternity that is past. In that first battle, the devil was cast out of heaven. Christ said he was there when the devil was cast as lightning from heaven. And what did he do? He occupied the firmament, or the place where the firmament was to be. And when you go home, if you read Genesis chapter 1, you'll find on the second day God created the firmament. Everything he created in the first day, the second day, the third day, and the fourth day, and the fifth day, and the sixth day, are marked with the word good. But the second day, it doesn't say that God saw that it was good. Every other day carried the hallmark of God's goodness. But not the second day. Why? Because Satan had taken up as his dwelling place the firmament. That's why he is called In another scripture, Ephesians 2:2, the prince of the power of the air. The prince of the power of the air. Now in Revelation 12:9, we read the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. This, of course, was the victory of the cross. When Christ destroyed him that hath the power of death, that is to say the devil, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So the first casting out found the devil in the firmament. The second casting out found the devil on earth, where he is at this moment, going up and down upon the earth. Read the first chapter of Job. But there's another fall coming to Satan. He's going to be ejected into the bottomless pit. Revelation 20 and verse 3. So from the heights of glory, he was cast down. He was cast down to the firmament. From the heights of the firmament, he was cast down to this old sinful world that he had contrived to deceive. He will be cast down into the bottomless pit when Christ comes again. But at the end of the 1,000 years, a millennium, he will be cast into the lake of fire forever. Revelation 20:10. Before each of these casting down, there was a tremendous battle in the world of the spirits. A battle that saw the almighty demonstration of the absolute omnipotence of God. Every battle was won by God. This word mystery is a very interesting word. When we use the word mystery in our language, we speak of something that is unknown, that is hidden, that is secret. But the word that's used for mystery here in the Greek language is not a mystery hidden, but a mystery uncovered. And that's what happened. God uncovered the fact that in these great battles, the devil was on the march to destruction. And every battle finished with the victory of God. And the final battle will finish when forever in the lake of fire the devil will be imprisoned, and the saints of God shall sing forever the praises of him who hath called them out of darkness into the everlasting light of heaven. I want today, for a moment or two, to discuss with you the mystery of godliness. And then this evening, I want to talk about the mystery of iniquity. The first, of course, is God, and God in the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God manifest in flesh. Think of it. He who is eternally God took into union with his eternal Godhead our humanity and became the God-man. His deity was not humanized, and his humanity was not deified. The two natures were joined in the one person of the Son of God. But his nature as a man was alone, and his nature as God was alone. There was no diluting of his deity and no diluting of his sinless humanity. Here I am in the realm of mystery. I can't explain it, but thank God I believe it. And I can say with Peter that thou art the Son of God when I look upon Christ. God manifest in flesh. Now the world has a changed view of man. There are a lot of monkey lovers in the world, and they want to join the family of apes, if you believe it, and they would like to have a long-tailed ape as their brother and their cousin. And so we have the whole stupidity of what they call Darwin's theory of the species. Well, I don't want anything to do with monkeys, and I want no relationship with either monkeys or donkeys either. I believe the simple statement of the book that God created man in the image of a monkey. No, he created man in the image of God. God. Life would be no mystery if we all came from monkeys. In fact, we would know one another by our smells rather than by our faces. But let me say to you today, this Bible uncovers for us the secrets of eternity when it talks about the mystery of godliness. What is the mystery of godliness? It's the mystery of the incarnation of the second person of the Holy Trinity becoming a man and dwelling among men and tempted in all points like man, yet without sin. The incarnation of Christ. The manifestation of Christ. He was seen of angels. Why does it say that? Because angels never before saw God and never could. But when God took the garments of humanity and wrapped himself in those garments, the angels came in their tens of thousands from heaven to earth, and they filled the mountains of Bethlehem, and they cried, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards man." The Old Testament scriptures, if you read them carefully, they carry a widespread revelation of the pre-incarnation appearances of Christ. These are what the theologians call Christophanies, the appearances of Christ before he became incarnate in the flesh. So when you take the Old Testament, you should mark every time you believe that God appeared on earth. The first you will find in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8. "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." Who was the voice of the Lord God? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word is God. That word voice there is most interesting. It is a word for the crackle of a human footstep. They heard the crackling of a human footstep. It's the same word that's used in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, 6. 2 Samuel chapter 5 and 24, 1 Kings 14 and 6, and 2 Kings 6 and 32. Why is the emphasis on the Savior's foot? Because his foot was going to be bruised by the devil. But in the bruising of Christ's foot, Christ by his foot broke the devil's head. And the prophecy says, "He shall bruise thy heel, but thou shalt bruise his head." And so he did. He bruised the head of sin. Remember, it was Christ's foot, none other, that broke Satan's head. Our Lord bruised the serpent's head. Let us ever remember, God cannot be seen. 1 Timothy tells us clearly, he's eternal, he's immortal. Listen. He's invisible. 1 Timothy 6:16 tells us, which no man has seen nor can see. Now unto the King invisible, whom no man has seen. But thank God, we have seen Jesus. Because he is taken into union with his Godhead, our humanity. Do you remember what Philip said? "Show us the Father, and it sufficeth us," in John 14. But Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet ye have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" Christ is God, but he is also man. Christ is the God-man. Christ is a visible representation of the invisible God. those that see God are saved. And there was a day in my life when God opened my blinded eyes. And who did I see? I saw Jesus only. For Jesus only can save. It's not Jesus plus the church, or plus baptism, or plus good works. It's Jesus only. And the first thing that happens when God saves a person, he opens his eyes and he sees Jesus. I have seen Jesus with the eye of my faith. But one day, when I get to heaven, or if Christ should come in his second glorious appearance before I die, I will see Jesus. Would you please notice something in my text? And notice it very, very carefully. What does it say? It says very particularly. And I want you to notice it. It says here concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, it says these words: great is the mystery of godliness. God became visible. God was manifest. How? In the flesh. In the flesh. I never noticed before until the past week that when I was studying this matter that all Christ's miracles are tied into the fact of the flesh. Do you remember those angels that came from heaven and sang and shouted in the mountains of Bethlehem? What did they say? They said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you." God manifest in flesh. "Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." The first time that God, the invisible God, became visible, he was wrapped in swaddling clothes and he was lying in a manger. And do you know, never again in all Christ's life were those words repeated until he died. And then two men, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, it says, they wrapped him. They wrapped him before they buried him. Christ in his incarnation was seen as a babe wrapped and lying in the manger. Why? Because he was God manifest in flesh. But when he died, he was wrapped again. But he'll never be wrapped the third time. For he left his clothes in that sepulchre because he'll never need them again. He is what? Revelation chapter 1. Alive forevermore. And has the keys of hell. He's the master prison keeper. And thank God he'll not be unlocking the lake of fire to let this devil out. The devil's in forever. A life sentence forever. The more you read the scripture, you're more amazed at its purity and its power. And then there were wise men came from the east. Do you remember them? And they came from the east. And they wanted to know about the star that had led them. And eventually they got to the wrong place. They got into the king's palace. The old bloodthirsty Herod the Great, as he was called, an evil man. And he was angry. And they couldn't give them any reason whatsoever. Said, you'll have to go and look for this child. And when they came back out of the palace, in which they should never have been, they saw the star again. And it led them to the house. And they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. And they opened their treasures. And they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense and myrrh. And then came the massacre of the infants. When it's infant, its reason was that Herod wanted to kill God manifest in flesh. But he escaped. And Joseph took the young child and his mother and fled into Egypt. And escaped. Great is the mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh. I've only time for the last one. Go to the banks of Jordan. Stand with me on the bank of the Jordan River. John the Baptist is baptizing, and Jesus has come to be baptized. And the whole emphasis was upon his flesh. And when he was baptized, the heaven was opened. The Spirit of God descended like a dove and abode upon him. And a voice from heaven said, the voice of the Father, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God manifest in flesh. May our eyes be open to see him. May our heart be open to love him. And may our minds be open to meditate upon him. In Jesus' name. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank thee for thy precious and holy word. And we thank thee for its representation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we pray that we may behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.